Seated. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus began to weep. This translation is misleading and frankly not my favorite because in the Greek, it's only two words. The shortest verse in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. Just two words, yet these words help us see into the very heart of God. John tells us that Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. The sister sent word that Lazarus was sick. Despite this message, Jesus waits 2 days before he arrives in Bethany, knowing Lazarus has died. Martha meets him with both faith and disappointment. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Mary falls at his feet with the same words, surrounded by mourners and grief. And in the middle of that scene, before the miracle, before the resurrection, John tells us simply, Jesus wept. Not politely teared up, not a symbolic gesture. The Greek word means deep, quiet sobbing. Which raises a question. Jesus already knows what he's about to do. In a few moments, he'll call Lazarus out of the tomb. He knows death will not have the last word. So why does Jesus cry? Does he cry because he knew Lazarus was dying and he didn't come right away? Does he cry because he loves this family and is sorry for their pain? Does he cry because maybe he senses his impending death? No. Jesus cries because God does not stand at a distance from human sorrow. Jesus cries because he's been incarnated. He is both fully divine and fully human. Sometimes it might be easier for us to think of Jesus as only divine, as if he really didn't have to suffer like all of us. But Jesus was as human as he was divine. He laughed. He ate and drank so freely, he was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton. He was so exhausted, he fell asleep in a boat and didn't hear the storm raging around him. He got angry at Peter, the Pharisees, and the money changers. He knew what burnout felt like because he needed to get away from the crowds to recharge in silence and prayer. He felt hunger. He felt the pain of being abandoned on the cross. We may feel uncomfortable with Jesus being fully human, but because he was fully human, God stepped directly into the pain of the world. Jesus doesn't observe our grief, kind of like a scientist studying a phenomenon. He enters it. He feels it. He shares it. This is one of the central convictions of our Lutheran faith. God is not revealed only in power and glory. God is revealed in the cross, in solidarity with human suffering. Martin Luther calls this the theology of the cross. God is found where the world least expects it, in weakness, in vulnerability, and in tears. John shows us this at the graveside in Bethany. The Son of God stands with those he loves and weeps. He weeps for Lazarus. He weeps for Mary and Martha. He weeps for the brokenness of creation. He weeps in protest for all death, because death was never God's intention for this world. When Jesus cries, we feel something profound. God's heart breaks over all the things that breaks ours. God's heart breaks over all the things that breaks ours. That matters. Because many of us were taught that faith means be strong, that Christians should somehow rise above their grief, that tears are a sign of weakness, that, quote, God will not give us anything we can't handle, unquote. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't lecture the mourners. He doesn't say, don't cry, everything will work out. He doesn't say, oh, come on, buck up. He joins them in their tears. So if you have ever stood beside a hospital bed or a graveside or carried your own grief that no one else can see, this verse speaks directly to you. Because the gospel tells us that God meets us there. Not after the tears stop, not once we become spiritually composed, but in the middle of the sorrow, Jesus weeps with us. And yet, the story doesn't end with tears. After Jesus cries, he walks to the tomb. He commands the stone to be rolled away, and he calls into the darkness, Lazarus, come out. The one who weeps is also the one who calls life out of death. And that is the hope of the gospel. God doesn't ignore suffering. God enters it. And then God begins the work of redeeming it. We see this on the cross. We see this as Holy Week unfolds. On Good Friday, the Son of God enters the tomb himself. And yet Easter tells us that death doesn't win. The tears of Jesus are not the end of the story. And the book of Revelation gives us the final promise. God will wipe away every tear from every eye. Which means that the God who once wept with us will one day dry our tears forever. Until that day, we live in the tension between Bethany and Easter. We grieve. We cry. We stand beside who are broken, alone, on the outside, who are unable to cry. We stand beside the graves of our loved ones. We stand beside the graves in our own hearts. But we don't stand there alone, because the Savior who conquered death is also the Savior who stood at the grave and wept. Two words. Jesus wept. In those two words, we see the compassion of God, the solidarity of Christ, and the promise that even in our deepest sorrow, God is already present, already working, already calling life out of death. In Christ's tears, we see God's love. So, dear church, come to this table of God's grace, then go and share this love. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.